Thank you for coming today. God is good. If you have need of healing, He's healing today. Amen. Deliverance. Hallelujah. He's breaking the chains of addiction. He's still opening blind eyes and deaf ears today. And the lame to walk. We thank you for your healing today for your body, Lord. You've made every provision available to us because of your sacrifice. And thank you, Lord, for the invitation that all we have to do is come to you and receive of you. For you are the fountain of living waters. You are the refreshing. You are the living word. It's all about you. You know, you and I can learn all about the Lord, all about the Bible, and yet not be saved. There are people that know the Bible well, but don't know the God of the Bible. And the title of the message today is the necessary requirement for salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, how many know this one? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And there is a teaching today, a popular teaching today, that says simply believing in God is all that is needed for one to be saved. Well, I believe in God. But James said, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? See, the people of Jesus' day asked the Lord what they needed to do to work the works of God. And maybe they're expecting him to give them a list of things that they needed to do to earn credit in heaven, hopefully to the degree to where they had enough credit to get through the door, the gate. I don't know, but they were asking, Lord, what must we do to do the works of God or to work the works of God? But Jesus simply said to them, believe on me. In John 6:28, they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And of course, that word believe means to have faith in or to commit to trust in, to commit to trust in. That means there must be a committing of oneself to him. So we know naturally we believe that there has to be something we have to do in order to earn, right, a wage. For example, we do go to work. Hopefully we work, right, and we get a wage to support our families. And so we're geared to thinking that we must do something in order to earn something in return. But there's just one thing that you cannot earn, and you know what that is. That's salvation. But there actually is a requirement, though, and it's very important that people understand there is a requirement for salvation. It's not just a matter of assenting intellectually that I believe that God exists, that he's real. Because, like James said, even the demons believe, but they tremble. So man is always trying to earn his way to heaven, and he feels that there is something he can do to merit salvation. And so the religions of the world are always giving people a heavy yoke of responsibility in hopes that if they do enough good, or if they bow down 5 times a day to Mecca or whatever it might be, that somehow they're going to earn enough credit with God to be accepted by God. And the problem with that is because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Amen. We're born corrupt, sinful, separated from God. All who were born naturally in Adam are already, amen, enemies of God naturally. All right? So who we are naturally is worse than anything we can do. And that's why people do unbelievable things, unspeakable things and atrocities in the world, because the heart of man is capable of indescribable evil, right? It's desperately wicked. And so God came to deal with that problem that we could not solve. One thing we cannot do, and that is change our hearts. You can change your mind, but you cannot change your heart. So what is required is a new heart, an exchange, amen, of the old for the new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's not just improving on the old thing. It's a brand new life, a brand new order. You come into a new creation. All right? And so people are confused because they are believing that somehow, if I just try hard enough, I can live a holy life that will please God. And in our own ability, that is impossible. You can do well for a little while, but eventually you're going to fall again. Amen? You're going to stumble. So, first of all, if we don't have the new heart, if Christ is not in us, then we don't even belong to Him. Amen? That's why Jesus said you must be born again. But there are many people that are heading towards destruction, and they're not even aware of it. Some people who are on this path believe they are saved, but are not. Jesus came to save us, didn't He? There is a requirement for salvation. If a person is to be truly saved and escape hell. And what is that? It's called conversion. It's not enough for a person to simply attend church, be convicted of sin, or even remorseful of their sin. Just being sorry for your sin is not enough. No. God requires repentance. He requires that people turn from their sin. Amen? That we repent and be converted. Jesus said many will stand before Him on judgment day, believing that they are saved. But instead they will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus is warning against people who falsely acknowledge Him as Savior, but have never been converted in their hearts. The word lawlessness means illegality, violation of law or wickedness. Jesus is speaking of people who profess allegiance to Him and may even do certain works in His name, but yet they live their lives contrary to His will. In other words, they're hypocrites. They're only actors. They're acting like Christians. There must be a conversion of the heart. And only God can do that. Amen. We can change our mind. We can change habits. We can change direction. But only God can convert the heart. And according to the scriptures, the unconverted will be rejected by the Lord. And again, not everyone who says to me, Matthew 7:21, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. So a converted person will produce good fruit. Jesus said that only those who do the will of God enter the kingdom. That's what he said. Again, the first step in doing the will of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus. In John 6:29, Jesus said to them, this is the true work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. This is the work, that you believe in him. It means also to cleave to rely on, to have faith in. An unconverted person can profess faith in Christ, but they deny him by the way they live their lives. Titus spoke of the false believers of his day and even the teachers. In Titus 1:16, it says they profess to know God. These are people that are professing to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. The New Living Translation says such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. So what does it mean to be converted? Well, Webster said the active process, or process of changing from one form or state to another. It's the active or process of changing from one form or state to another. Remember, Jesus said you cannot put what? New wine in an old wineskin. You've got to have a new wineskin that can contain the new wine. Amen? Because in the heat of the sun, the fermentation process would cause that old wineskin that became brittle to burst and everything would be lost. So God is saying you cannot just put something new into the old. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a conversion. There has to be a change of form. Are you hearing me? We have to become a new creation. See, a Christian is not one who acts like a Christian, but who is, who has become a Christian. There's a difference. Well, I just follow the golden rule. Well, good. Has your heart been changed? Have you been born of the Spirit of Christ from above? Have you transitioned from death into life? It doesn't matter how many good works you do. If you're still in Adam, you're still in death. Amen? You must be in Christ in order to have life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Conversion involves a change in our inner life, a change in our character. And a gospel that requires no repentance and conversion cannot save. Why? Because according to Jesus, you must be born again. Amen? Conviction is just the beginning. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The law reveals to us the fact that we're sinful. Amen? And that we cannot save ourselves by ourselves, that we're incapable of living a life that is acceptable to God, independent of God.
Amen.
So we need to receive him who is salvation. Salvation is found in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. You must have Christ in you in order to have the hope of glory.
Amen.
Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day for their hypocrisy in Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He sends you like you're a grave walking around. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. God sees the heart. You cannot live the Christian life outwardly unless you're a Christian inwardly. You know, unfortunately, some church leaders today will not teach the truth about repentance and conversion. They won't teach about heaven and hell because many people do not want to hear it today. Isn't that true? Just tell me what feels good, what I want to hear, and I'll keep attending your church. But we have to ask the question, do I love the truth enough to let it work in my heart? Do I love Jesus enough to trust him? Some people think, well, I just do this religious duty once in a while on Sunday, check in at the door, sing the songs, listen to the sermon, pray the prayers, and then I go home and I live the rest of my life for me. But that's not what Jesus called us to. Jesus called to us to a life of full surrender, of sacrifice. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. First step, take up your cross and follow him. That means a full surrender of my life and a submission of my will to the will of God. That's salvation. You see, some church leaders are more concerned about offending man than offending God. People need to know the truth because people perish for lack of truth, lack of knowledge of God. Somebody has to love people enough to tell them. It's going to cost you to speak the truth, to live the truth. But we must. People need to know. After the lame man was healed, remember at the Gate Beautiful? Peter spoke to the crowd that was assembled there at Solomon's porch. In Acts 3:12, he said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." How many know he wasn't influencing people and winning friends when he said that? He was accusing them of the death of Jesus. He says, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers." Have anybody beside myself done things in ignorance? You thought you were doing the right thing? "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and what? Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You remember Jesus said, "He who received the seed on the stony ground immediately received the word with joy, sprung up, but had no root. And when tribulation, when persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away." Do you understand? God is saying that we must be converted in our hearts and we must have a firm foundation in Christ in order to be able to overcome this world. There are people that come for a season. They show life. They show love for God. They show excitement and zeal for God. Amen. But when things start to go wrong or go in a different direction than what they had anticipated, many are offended at God and many fall away. Why? Because they are not rooted and grounded in Christ.
Amen.
And so they get angry at God, accuse God. If you know the love of Christ, you know that God is good. Amen? No matter what happens, you still know that God is good. I don't have to understand with my mind everything, but I do understand in my heart that God is good. And he promised to work what? All things together for the good. Mm-hmm. Conversion begins with conviction. Conviction is simply you and I realizing the damning effects of sin. And it causes a person to desperately look for a way to be free from their sin. And so a converted person cannot habitually live a sinful life. How many here can no longer do that? You cannot be comfortable in your sin. You'll be miserable if you try to live in rebellion to God. Jesus said, there are certain sins that will disqualify a person from heaven. And this is a very unpopular verse in some circles, but we're going to go through it today a little bit. In Revelation 21:8, Jesus said, the cowardly, first on the list, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what Jesus said. A truly converted person cannot habitually live this way, because the seed of God is in them. The fear of the Lord governs them. And they can no longer comfortably live in sin. You must be born again. You must be converted in your heart. And that means that I have to submit myself to the will of God. When the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin, amen, I have to take responsibility. I have to own it. And I have to claim that, yes, Lord, I am the one, amen, that is guilty of sinning against you, amen. And we repent of that. We confess that. And we renounce that. And we go and we sin no more, because that's what true repentance is. I'm done with sin. When you're done with sin, now you're ready for Jesus. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
The first on this list are the cowardly. I've done some study into that because I've felt at times in my life I've been a coward. Have you? I know people, they drive around with those no fear bumper stickers. But there are certain things that times that frighten us. Can you say amen to that? Everybody here say amen. And when Peter thought he was going to be all that and he was going to stand for Jesus and he would never deny Jesus, he was self-confident that he could just do everything that was expected of him in his own strength, his own ability. Amen. Well, what happened to Peter? Peter ended up denying the Lord, didn't he? He fell. Why? Because his faith and confidence was not in the Lord, but in himself. And God had to allow him to fail and to fall on his face so that he would realize that in yourself, you don't have the ability to live the purpose of God. Amen. You must rely upon me. My Holy Spirit will empower you. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached that sermon, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
He's not going to deny the Lord this time. I learned my lesson. Remember, Peter was crushed. It says when he denied the Lord and the rooster crowed, remember, he went out and he wept bitterly. I denied my Lord. And when Jesus returned after his resurrection, he said, and tell Peter. He didn't forget about Peter. Jesus loved Peter. And he said, oh, Peter, Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed that your what? Faith would not fail. Aren't you glad that we have an intercessor? Amen. We have a great high priest that prays for us, that gives us the help we need when we need it. We have an advocate with the Father, don't we? But cowardly, it means to shrink from fear. Shrink from fear. The cowardly are those who, because of fear of man, refuse to confess Jesus and bear the ridicule of the world. Just like Peter. In Jesus' day, there were those who believed in him, but would not confess him due to the fear of men. John 12:42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Listen, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They're going to lose their membership at the local club. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And this is where it really comes down, doesn't it? To where is your loyalty? Who do you love more? Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, amen, then you will have a love for him. Amen. You'll be willing to sacrifice. You'll be willing to witness. You'll be willing to do the works of God. Amen. Believing on him. Paul said in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, somebody say confession, is made unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul said, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've heard a lot of people say Jesus is Lord, and I knew they weren't operating in the Holy Spirit. So what does he mean by that? Well, evil spirits characteristically curse God, don't they? They blaspheme and curse the name of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. He inspires people to say that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Not just with their lips, but with their hearts and their lives. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need God's power. Hallelujah. In us. If the Holy Spirit is not indwelling a person, again, that person cannot authentically confess the Lord Jesus. The reason why many people do not confess the Lord Jesus and they give in to fear is because they are not yielding to the Holy Spirit. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit, amen, to be in charge. If I find myself cowering, all right, because of the fear of man, it means that I am weak spiritually. Amen. And I need to go and have a drink. I need to fill up on the Lord. I need to drink of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't need the spirits of the world. Let's qualify that. So have another drink, amen? Drink of his presence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know that people that can be very quiet and shy after they've had a few drinks at the bar can all of a sudden become very noisy? Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. So it is, you may be naturally a shy person, maybe a timid person, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're drinking from the springs of living water, amen, and you're being filled up on Him, you will have a supernatural confidence that will enable you to confess Jesus is Lord, even in the presence of many witnesses. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. God wants us to be filled to overflowing, amen, so that we can be a bold witness for Him. Not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess but before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So when a person is genuinely born of the Spirit, he will confess the Lord because it is something too good to be kept secret. Well, I have a secret faith. How many know the Lord says, I want you out of the closet? I want you out of your shell, and I want you, amen, to be an expression of my heart in this world. If you will simply obey the voice of God, and when He says speak, just start speaking, He's going to fill your mouth. He's going to give you what you need to say. Amen? He told Joshua to be of good courage. That was something that he needed to do. It's something we need today. Courage is not necessarily the absence of fear, remember. But it's the mastery over fear. It's control over fear. It's fear that's controlled. A courageous person is not allowing their fears to control them. And if you will take courage, the Lord will come through for you. The hardest thing about getting started sometimes is what? Getting started. The hardest thing about stepping out for Jesus sometimes is what? Stepping out. Taking that step. You feel God has given you a word for somebody. God's telling you to pray for somebody. Come on. God's telling you to prophesy. You got to get over that. You got to take courage, amen, and not allow fear to shut you down and shut you up, because the enemy uses fear to silence God's people because he's afraid of someone who will speak on behalf of the Lord. Because the Word of God is the sword of our spirit, and it destroys the work of Satan. Truth will trump the lie, will it not? It will overcome. If you really believe something, you know, you want to share it. Hallelujah. I know some of you guys, when you were dating and you had that cute little chick under your arm and you're walking around, you want to show her off, right? Because she's pretty. And if she's not, you maybe not. But if she's pretty... But if you got something good going on, just keeping it real here, right? But if you got something good going on, you're not ashamed, amen, to take her out in public and say, are you with her? Yeah. Come on. Do you see what I'm saying? How about Jesus? Do we have something good in the Lord? Isn't He the best? Shouldn't we want to share Him with other people? Amen. That's why I said don't hide it under a bushel, right? I'm going to let it shine. Let your light so shine before men. Be an expression of God's heart. Listen, hear this. If there's no confession of the Lord, then there is the question of whether or not that person is truly saved. Somebody say amen. Because the scripture says that when a person is saved, they will make a public confession of that salvation. If you're truly saved, you will want to tell people about Jesus. When I got born again, God took this shy guy, amen, and began to use me. I began to tell people about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is so good, I want to share him with others. I want other people to know what I know. I want other people to have what I have. Are you hearing me? So I want people to see Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus because Jesus in me is so good, I can't help contain him.
Amen.
In some cases, maybe you just need to get refired again. You need to get filled again. Maybe things have just dried up in your life. You've disconnected. You've got all these other things going on in your life, these idols that have choked the life of God out of you. And now you find yourself being fearful and cowardly and afraid of people. Come on, because the Spirit of God is no longer first in your life. He's not on the throne of your heart anymore. Many will say to me, the Bible says there will be people who will fail to receive the grace of God. They may look like a Christian, talk like a Christian, profess to be a Christian, even do Christian things, but not be saved. Remember Judas. He was numbered among the 12 original disciples. Yet Judas turned out to be a hypocrite. He was a traitor and a man who was never truly converted. In the book of Acts, when Paul was permitted to give a defense of his ministry before King Agrippa, remember that? In Acts 26:28, well, he almost convinced the king, almost, to surrender his life to Christ. But the king was not willing to fully surrender to Christ. Therefore, he could not be saved. God can save that which he possesses, but God will not take from you what you're not willing to give him. He'll receive you if you're willing to give him your life. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Almost persuaded is not enough to save. And there are people that are almost there. And some people die being almost there, but not there. One of these days, I'll give my life to Jesus. One of these days, I'll surrender. But not right now. I've got too many things that I want to do. Maybe at the end of my life, when I have nothing better to do, I'll give my life. Come on. Jesus didn't die on that cross, amen, just to have a part of me. But he died, amen, and he purchased me fully on that cross. And so he deserves all of me, and that I will give my full life back to him now. Salvation is only in Christ, amen. But we must respond to his invitation, amen, to surrender our lives to him. You must not only be convicted, and you must not only change your mind, but you must be converted in your heart. Amen. And only God can convert the heart, but he will convert the heart that he knows is truly repentant. Means business. Amen. Is not giving God lip service. Say, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. No. God says you must be born again. Amen. You cannot save your life. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. God is asking for all of you. Amen. And nothing less. God is looking for a full surrender of everyone in this room today, that we will say, Jesus, I'm all in. How many are all in today for Jesus? It's time, amen, that we learn what it is to die to ourself, to take up our cross, amen, to follow the Lord. The Lord is looking for loyalty in His people. He's looking for willing vessels, someone that'll say, Lord, I'll run, I'll go for You. Hebrews 9:27, I finish. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Everyone will have their day in court. Everyone will see Jesus. Some people decide that I'm going to bow now. Some people will bow then, who have not bowed now, but we bow now. We submit to God now. We give our lives to God now. Amen. We have to understand that no one is righteous apart from the righteousness of Christ. Okay? The only way to be justified is through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? But the requirement for salvation is a conversion of the heart, a transformation of the heart. You must be born again. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's salvation. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want to deceive anyone else. We must speak the truth to people. The many people who are on the path of destruction who think that they're saved. But unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom. Would you bow your heads? I don't know if God has spoken to you this morning about anything, some idols in your life, maybe some things that you need to repent of and turn away from, or areas where you're unsubmitted to His authority. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get it right. Today, you can settle that with Him if you will talk to Jesus right now and ask Him to forgive you. He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Would you just ask the Lord to forgive you? Would you ask the Lord to come into your heart? Come into your heart. Lord Jesus, I welcome You into my heart. I want You to be Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, I surrender to You. I give You my life. I give You my past, my present, and my future. Lord, I ask You to save me and set me apart for You. I ask You to fill me with Your Holy Spirit and raise me up for Your glory, that I will be a witness for You. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.